Welcome to another exciting episode of Not in a Creepy Way, the podcast where the Brothers Anderson will dig deep into the movies. The Brothers Anderson are... This is Eric.
And by the way, you know, when you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
This is Brother Jay.
You ask me if I have a God complex. Let me tell you something. I am God.
This is Drew.
There is a storm coming like nothing you have ever seen. And not a one of you is prepared for it.
So sit back, close your eyes, and let us take you away. Unless you're driving, in which case keep your eyes open and watch the road and, you know, anyway. Welcome, this is Eric.
This is Brother Jay.
This is Drew.
And tonight we're going to talk about the 2004 David Mamet film, Spartan. And Brother Drew's going to lead the way.
All right, I put this movie on the calendar for a number of reasons. One, I thought this was a hidden gem. I'd never heard of it until I saw it at the video store, and it kind of had a cool cover, so I checked it out, knew nothing about it, and I really liked it. Turns out it's a David Mamet movie, and I really like David Mamet. We have done a Mamet movie on this podcast before called Heist. And then when Brother Jay mentioned what a huge fan he was of Val Kilmer on one of the early episodes, not only as an actor, but as a person, I think he might have been one of his first celebrity crushes. I thought, you know what? We should talk about Spartan, all three of us. And this is way before that we ever did a three-person pod. So because I don't know anybody else that has seen this movie, and I really like it and wanted to talk about it.
It's almost surprising no one else has seen this movie since it's so great.
I sense sarcasm.
Yeah, well, what's your initial thought?
Can you read my notes?
Audio forum.
I will speak it, but can you read it? My notes are three letters. WTF. That's my notes. That's it. That's all I got. This is the worst acted movie I have ever had to sit through.
Really?
It was terrible.
Well, let me just point out that next week might be a chore.
What's next week?
I believe it's The Man with the Golden Gun.
Oh, well, but that at least has some interest because it's campy. This was not campy. This was just bad.
I don't think this was bad at all.
I feel like we didn't watch the same movie.
So, like, the Leonidas, the king, 300 and strong, and they fought the Xerxes, you know, Spartan?
Yep, we definitely did not watch the same movie.
I was surprised with the snappy dialogue, because King Leonidas is not known necessarily for his quick patter, but it was pretty great.
If I wear shoes, I will fall down.
Okay, so that, by the way, is that on the calendar yet? It should be.
I don't know if it's on the calendar, but you're right, it should be.
Yeah.
So. That will immediately get Dr. Wonders to return to the podcast.
So, okay, we should probably talk about Spartan. My reaction...
I don't think we should, but okay.
Well, my reaction was that I thought Val Kilmer was a little flat, but then I realized about halfway through that that's what he's supposed to be. He's a drone. He is not a deep thinker. He is a soldier. And that's all what that entails. He knows how to do a job.
Oh, baby.
He specifically does not want to be a thinker.
Yeah, the baby thing was kind of jarring to me. But I thought, I really appreciate the fact that this movie, maybe more than any other movie we talked about, does not spoon feed you facts. There is no shoving exposition into dialogue. All the characters know each other and know what they're talking about and don't feel the need to explain it to us.
So much so it's nearly incomprehensible.
No, but that's kind of a Mamet thing, right? Like Heist. They had their own kind of language, just like they do in this movie. And they are the experts at their craft. And they only work with the best, so they don't have to talk about it with each other. They just do it. And you get to witness it by action, like Eric said, not by exposition, which is something I really appreciate in these movies.
Well, and I don't know how much of it we want to necessarily spoil, but although we're pretty good at spoiling movies anyway, and Jason might suggest that this movie has been spoiled just by being released. But
you read my mind.
But there were two things that really hit me at first. A, I didn't know whose daughter was kidnapped exactly. Maybe even to the end of the movie. Well, no, I guess by the end, you know. But in the very beginning, you don't really know how important a daughter she is. She just is the daughter of an elected official.
No, I just assumed it was the president's daughter.
Well, I thought so too, but there was no... I was looking for more clues.
No, there are no clues, because this movie is badly written.
Oh, no. No. You can complain about a lot, but it was not badly written.
Until the end, until the very end of the movie, I thought maybe William H. Macy was the president. Based only on the red hair.
That would be bad writing. When things aren't clear and the audience is left to have all kinds of misapprehended instances. Bad characters, bad character development.
No, there aren't any like red herrings.
When the audience can't comprehend which characters are which throughout the film, that's bad writing.
Well, I'm going to argue on the other side, because I think by the end I knew who everybody was just fine, and I understood the story, and it was satisfying to me.
I mean, I still don't know who Val Kilmer is, but I know who the character is.
I know he murdered a movie.
So you think he was the sole person responsible? Well, you didn't like the plot.
Well, his acting was bad. So, I mean, you know, and I love Val Kilmer. I do. So
if you turned off the volume, could have you enjoyed this more?
It would have made it no less confusing. Probably would have made it a better story, because it would have been my imagination.
Now, you've seen Heist, right?
No.
Oh, Heist is available streaming.
Yeah, it's on my list, although now I'm reticent to watch it.
How about Spanish Prisoner?
Nope.
Oh, that's on the list. It's good. Mm. Or maybe not, depending on how you feel about this kind of writing. He wrote Hurley Burley, too, didn't he? That's a darker movie.
I don't know. He was a screenwriter on Wag the Dog.
Yes, yep.
Which is a great movie that you didn't like, Brother Drew, I believe.
I did not. But I do not remember it having the Mamet-style dialogue that I love so much. Like, I love the writing in this movie. It's probably the thing I love the most about it.
He wrote the screenplay for Hannibal. That explains a lot.
I love the way the characters talk to each other. Like when Jennifer Grey's husband shows up, and Val Kilmer and him just go into their little play acting without even really talking about it. I thought that was fantastic when they're interrogating the Secret Service agent.
His post was Harvard Yard. Harvard Yard, northeast corner, Lowell House, across from her dorm. Night watch relieved him there midnight. Want to help me out?
You understand?
Yes, sir.
You know, I'm making myself clear to you, right?
Yes.
Okay, then. Once again.
She had lunch with her father.
Lunch with her father? You were seconded to that detail?
No, sir. I just had her.
You just had her?
I had her all day. Tucked her in at 10, and she...
Yeah, she had a tiff with her boyfriend.
Yes.
Michael Blake. What was it about?
I think it was about her...
Her haircut. So it wasn't a serious...
No. And then I held the post until relieved.
Well, then we've got a little problem.
I was there.
2312 hours, 19 May, Harvard Yard, northeast corner, Lowell House, reveals no Secret Service presence. Neither his post nor adjacent, a second tour, 2330, reveals similarly.
I was there, sir.
Who's lying, you or him?
Son of a bitch, I got 15 years in. I got two kids. You're not going to sit there and lie away my pension. Do not say
You were there.
I was on post.
Get up, motherfucker!
The hell
you
can't swine off!
Don't you say you were on post!
Get up!
Wait!
You
wait.
Son of a bitch!
Get up!
Get the
you
fuck out!
You motherfucker!
Get the fuck out!
Clark Gregg is Jennifer Grey's husband?
Yeah. We had this discussion last time this came up.
Oh,
Eric.
Man. I love Clark Gregg. We probably had that
so
discussion,
So does Jennifer
too.
Grey.
Yeah. I loved him from The New Adventures of Old Christine.
Mm-hmm. He was great in that.
That whole show was good. Sorry, I'm looking up David Mamet, too. I don't know if that's what Brother Jay is doing. Oh, Glenn Ross.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's his most famous play, probably. American Buffalo. Yeah. But yeah, no, Glengarry Glen Ross, The Spanish Prisoner, American Buffalo, which, you know, any Vincent Gallo movie is not going to get my eyes anymore. House of Games, Homicide, Ronin.
Joe Mantegna, right?
House of Games? Yep. Oh, he also... Did he direct? Oh, he wrote and directed Red Belt, Spanish Prisoner, House of Games.
I'm putting Red Belt on the calendar.
Oleana, Homicide, Things Change, Phil Spector. He also wrote screenplays for The Verdict, Hoffa, Ronin, Wag the Dog, The Edge, and Hannibal. And he was executive producer and frequent writer for the show The Unit. And yeah, he has his own style of speaking.
Yeah, so the baby, that's a Mamet-ism. The use of the phrase, how about that, in various different ways, that's a Mamet-ism. Yeah, so Jason, I'm bummed you didn't like this movie. I'm pretty disappointed.
Yeah, it didn't do it for me. It had potential. It had a lot of potential, but it just was clunky, and I didn't think it was well acted, and the plot was really kind of thin, and it was all over the place. I think it wanted to be a lot of things and wasn't.
I think just the opposite. I think it was a really stripped down version of like an action espionage thriller. I thought it was really lean. There was no fat to this movie. It just moved along.
See, I think it was too lean. I think it was pieced apart, and there was too many ways it could have gone, and it was never really developed. There was just too many different channels.
Well, I have two specific takeaways. If I can maybe interject them now to see if they sure. Make any resonance. I think I'm trying to rehabilitate this movie. Maybe unnecessarily. You don't have to like all the movies, as it turns out.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that when Sergeant Jacqueline Black, played by Tia Tejada from Third Watch, among a lot of TV shows, when she said she was an edged weapons knife fighting instructor.
Yes, sir.
What you got you teaching here, young sergeant?
Edged weapons, sir. Knife fighting.
Don't you teach them knife fighting? You teach them to kill. That way, they meet some son of a bitch studied knife fighting. They send his soul to hell. It's all in the mind, Sergeant. That's where the battle's won.
So that was a funny piece of dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I like the fact that, and this would spoil something a little bit, but the whole reason why they're involved in this is because of the status of the girl. Doesn't seem to be like the main thing when it all comes down to... I mean, when it all comes down... Rescuing the girl isn't the most important thing.
To who?
Well, exactly. Yeah, and that's where Scott shows his weakness, his vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
Because you should have just left it the way it was supposed to be. Do his job, go home, earn his paycheck, nothing more, nothing less. Be a drone.
Except he couldn't, because there was something that was making him be that way, except that's never explained.
Just that... That detail, the passion of the...
Lots of details like that aren't
explained.
The
passion of Antoine Fisher. Well, that's the other thing. When Antoine Fisher says he saw the sign, and Val Kilmer misinterprets that and says, then you are truly blessed. I thought that was beautiful.
I love that. Yeah, no, I think it is totally in line with this character. He He took young Derek Luke under his wing. Thought he was a pretty good operative, even though he fucked up the caper with the people smuggler dude from prison. He trusted him, so he followed him back to the beach house because his mission was to get the girl. And so they went back to look for the girl, and then his partner ended up getting killed for it. I think that was his main motivation to see it through.
Absolutely. And, okay, how about this? How about, the cast in this? I've already talked about William H. Macy. There's also the Madam, played by Natalia Nogulik, who is an admiral in Deep Space Nine, Next Generation, and then was also some sort of ambassador in the West Wing.
She was the Israeli... Israeli ambassador.
Yeah, she was pretty fun for her scene. Well, fun is probably the wrong word. But also, how about Ed O'Neill?
Yeah, he's fine.
I wrote down that, we think of him as Al Bundy, but he is one Robert Irvine-looking son of a bitch.
Yeah, he doesn't have much screen time, but he makes use of it.
Well, I think Robert Irvine's a little more built. I don't think Ed O'Neill's quite that defined.
He never took off his coat. You never know.
Well, if you've seen him on Modern Family, you know.
Okay, see, I haven't, so I get to keep my fantasy.
That's a dozen years later, though.
I didn't mean to ruin it for you. You can go back to the Married with Children days and fantasize.
Oh no, not at all. No, that's all about. Christina Applegate. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I knew you were going to go there.
Hey, she was one of the first Pop-Tarts. Self-described.
I'm not familiar with that vernacular.
Yeah, she self-described herself. She referred to herself
as you want to do.
Yes. because the show became a surprise hit, and she was. Her whole character was very, very simple. She used to wear scanty clothing. So she was a Pop-Tart. Anyhow. But she had done a lot of those Pop-Tart roles before. Turns out,
good
she's
to be
really
self-aware.
Funny, was it she? Was the movie? Was the TV show? Was it Jesse?
God, I got nothing.
Yeah. And she's also like one of the original Pussycat dolls. Anyway.
Wow, you know a lot.
Well,
almost as if you've had a lifetime of research.
Exactly. Oh yeah, let me tell you, you can find the Valerie Bertinelli episode of The Hardy Boys, where she plays a dual role, good girl and bad girl. It's not great. It's not a great performance. It's not a show that holds up. And I think actually Sean Cassidy sings in maybe every episode.
Oh, God.
But, it was the time. So, so Spartan.
So who else was in Spartan? You're on a roll there. You got stuck at Ed O'Neill.
Tariq Ahsani was the character who's the smuggler. He's played by Saeed Tamoui. Probably mispronounced his name. He is the Moroccan Tony Danza. I say that only because he plays a character named Saeed in most of the movies that he plays in. But he's been in like American Hustle and Three Kings and Vantage Point. We have, of course, Clark Gregg from The Avengers and New Adventures of Old Christine. We find out that the daughter eventually, and this is another thing I found surprising, we never see a picture of the daughter until the very end where you meet the daughter.
You see her early on.
Well, you see her with her old hair. You don't see her with her...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you see... But it's a clear picture of her early on.
I guess maybe I didn't recognize her until
I saw her. I knew who she was instantly.
Yeah. Played by Kristen Bell.
Yeah.
Who's Dax Shepard's wife. I think they're both Scientologists. And she's been in a couple things. Veronica Mars, among other things. Saving Sarah Marshall.
She was in a couple seasons of Heroes, if I'm not mistaken.
Now you think of... Oh, was she? Okay, never mind. We've got the other inmate that He's being transported on some sort of medical thing with Mark Pellegrino from Quantico, Dexter, and every other TV show.
Lost. He was an important character on Lost.
Yeah.
We have Jones, who is the Australian mercenary at the end, played by a guy with the most Australian name ever. His name is Kick Gurry. I think his born name, his given name was Christopher, but his little brother couldn't say Chris, so they called him Kick.
That seems reasonable.
So he goes by Kick Gurry. And he was in Edge of Tomorrow and Speed Racer, among other things. But, you know, William H. Macy, he's just a solid guy in this kind of role anyway.
He's a mammoth all-star.
Yeah, I thought that Val Kilmer was super flat, but then I realized like halfway through that this was a thing. So that's he was being directed to be flat.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, maybe I didn't mention that Curtis... is played by Derek Luke, who is the titular role in Antoine Fisher. And he was also in Captain America and, I guess, the TV show Trauma.
Pieces of April? Is that a movie?
Maybe, yeah. With Tom Cruise's ex-wife.
Katie. Yep.
Which one?
Katie Holmes. It's a Thanksgiving movie.
Never seen it.
I remember liking it back in the day.
There's only one Thanksgiving movie for me.
Home for the Holidays?
Home for the Holidays.
I was trying to figure out how to juggle the calendar, and we'll have to talk about this because I'm not sure if I juggled things away from the way we had planned before, but because I wanted to put Oasis closer because I was having so much fun listening to Oasis. But I wanted to put Man of the Year somewhere before Election Day. But, we may have to do it just after Election Day. Because otherwise we're going to lose a... We're going to have to, like... We won't get done with the Bond movies until 2025.
I don't think Drew will be upset by that.
Yeah, well, it's funny because the next Bond movie is pretty fun. Although, you'll see. It's next week.
My first time I've seen it.
No, so. I know. But the one after that is not quite as fun. It's the first Bond movie in a long time that I got halfway through, and I'm like, oh, maybe I don't even need to see the other half until we get closer to the date.
What's the one after The Man with the Golden Gun?
Man with the Golden Gun.
The Spy Who Loved Me?
Yes, The Spy Who Loved Me. Yes.
No.
Yeah. I hope it gets better, because it is tough.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
Yeah.
Well, that's followed by Moonraker, right?
Yeah, which really Moonraker. Is also very tough too. Yeah. Well, let's finish up our epic Spartan episode with Brother Jay. Your verdict?
This was clearly not my genre of film, so I must not be a Mehmet fan.
I disagree about genre.
But poorly written movies aren't my thing.
Ah, okay. I think you're being too hard. I think the third time you see it, you're going to appreciate it for its majesty.
The third time I see it, huh? When do you propose I'm going to see it the second time?
So, Brother Drew, sell it. Sell it to us.
I actually think you would be really surprised with a rewatch. You know, if you thought the plot was too obtuse to follow or... the threads weren't there. I think if you rewatched it, sort of having experienced it one time and having a bit of a knowledge, I think you'd be really surprised about how well this movie is actually put together. This movie is right up my alley. It's sort of a peek into the world of people who are experts in their craft who don't feel the need to explain what they're doing. It's a very similar movie to Heist, I think, but on a smaller scale. And instead of a heist movie, it's like an espionage thriller, which is indeed right up my alley. It's one of my favorite type of movies. I love the Mamet dialogue. I love the clever kind of twists and turns that Mamet has in his movies. I'm really surprised that Ricky Jay didn't make an appearance in this movie. But, you know, Mamet loves Ricky Jay because he's obsessed with sleight of hand. I think that's what he does with his movies. So even in this movie, you think it's one thing and it turns out to be another. And then at the very end, you find out it's a whole nother thing entirely. And it's done, I think, in a really clever way, but it doesn't beat you over the head with it. You can sort of choose to experience this movie however you want. But for me, I found it to be really effective. I thought it was well-paced. I thought the action scenes were good and realistic without being over the top. I thought there was the right amount of tension in it and just enough character development for you to actually feel something at the end of the movie. Even knowing what happened at the end of the movie, it still made me emotional. So this movie really connected with me. So I'm not mad at you for not liking it, but I feel bad that it couldn't make a connection with you the way it did for me.
Yeah, I didn't care that they got the girl back, and I didn't care that they rescued her, and I didn't care that she came home. In no way did I care about her.
But it turns out, it's not a happy ending.
No, it's not.
The sitting through the dialogue of the movie didn't help, because to me, it's terrible dialogue. So, I mean, that's, you know, coupled with that I didn't like any of the characters.
Oh, come on, baby.
So bad dialogue. I think that's why I didn't connect with it. It's because there was just nothing that resonated in a way that would have been a movie I watch. It had the right pieces, but it just wasn't executed in a way that is a movie for me.
Can I give it kudos to having no love story? Because there were studios, I'm sure, that would have just basically insisted on wedging a love story in here somewhere, especially between Val Kilmer and the girl.
Except the super cheesy ending where he's holding her.
Yeah, but he's not holding her in a romantic way, I don't think.
No, he's holding her like a fallen comrade.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. He's a Spartan.
Here's an example of how I think the writing is actually really, really smart. When Scott's there with his hired mercenary guy who he doesn't know too well, and they're staking out the compound, and he figures out that they're actually moving the girl a day early, and he turns to him and says, "Did you burn me?" And the response is, "I can't say that I did." I mean, that just the way that's phrased says so much. You know, it says that he's a professional. It says that he didn't do anything intentionally, but he's not ruling out the fact that they might have been made. Like, all that is conveyed with like very minimal dialogue, and that's the type of response that when posed an accusation like that, when two professionals are talking, really engenders trust.
Well, that's the acting stylings of the Australian.
Sure.
Okay. Until nothing. We're not persuading Brother Jay. Well, that's okay. So Drew thinks it was worth it. I think it's worth it.
He's a spy, except that he's a spy mercenary that found listening and or homing devices in his equipment and then didn't check the rest of his equipment.
He's not that kind of spy.
Yeah. It turns out he's not a spy at all.
No, he's a tool.
He's the thug. Yeah.
He's a soldier.
Yeah.
He's like a special forces operative. He's not a spy at all.
Yeah, he's a blunt instrument.
Yeah, I mean his whole plan to get the girl out is to make the vehicle stop and shoot the driver. And if they don't get out, he's gonna light the car on fire.
Yeah, exactly.
it's not necessarily clever spy craft, it's just you know, effective means to accomplish an objective.
Yeah, and he doesn't have a lot of plan Bs. Actually, ever. Because plan Bs are for planners. He's an executor. So. Okay, so can we get to maybe one of the very last 2001 connections?
Well, let's hear let's hear your final thoughts about the movie, Eric.
Well, I liked it. Once I figured out what it was, I liked it. Because I didn't... Roger Ebert's review of this movie. He gave it 4 stars. I probably would have given it like 3.5, but I'm not a professional reviewer. He said that one of the things he likes about David Mamet's writing is that, you know, because he likes close-up magic, he writes a script as if it were close-up magic. So you have the, like, the left hand doing all these crazy motions. So as the audience member, you know that we should probably be paying attention to the right hand that's going to be, like, doing the manipulating so you can figure out the trick. But what's really happening is the left hand is still doing the trick, but in a way that you can't tell because now your focus is on the right hand that you think is going to be... He, like, double-crosses you with the plot. And it works. And because it works, it's fun.
Where was the double-cross?
Like, you know, you're expecting... At least I was expecting a much more straightforward story where the girl was kidnapped. He rescues the girl. Maybe he's a couple steps behind, but has to catch up. But we didn't realize that the person that sent him on the mission, suddenly their mission changed because they found a more expedient way to solve the problem. So the actual goal, like, it didn't matter to anyone in the government that they were kidnapping girls and sending them to sex slaves, including, it especially didn't matter that this particular girl, because they found a convenient way, once the media found out she was missing, they found a convenient way to, murder her college professor.
No, I mean, the double cross was, you think it's going to be, like a rescue caper, and then it turns out the girl's actually dead. But you know, the audience knows that she's not. But the twist is why it got called off. And once you figure out why it got called off and why Scott now has to do this operation on his own, it turns into another type of movie. But then at the end, you find out that not only do they just want her to disappear, when they figured out that he might actually get her back, the triple cross was that they actually put out a hit on them, going way, way, way further than you would have expected.
It makes no sense. He's somebody who wants to be a grunt and just wants to keep his head down and get his work done, but then he doesn't. He wants to get involved, except that he doesn't. He wants to do this thing, except that he doesn't, except that he does. It doesn't make any sense.
I think it's conflict. I don't see it as contradiction. Okay. I think he's been trained to be a soldier and ends up being a reluctant, like, paladin.
A man's got to have a code.
If he's such a professional and he's such a trainer and he's such somebody who's been in the service that long, you really think that's likely?
But he's not doing it for the girl ever. Well, maybe at the end he's doing it for the girl. But he's basically doing it for his comrades who have died up until this point. Like, when he loses Antoine Fisher, that's a big deal. He owes something to Antoine Fisher. He doesn't owe anything to the girl.
Well, and also his primary mission, the mission that he accepts, is to get the girl. And he just finds impediment after impediment in his way, including the people that put him on the mission in the first place. But he's still going to accomplish the mission. Especially after his partner is killed for it.
So he's like a robot. You can't turn him off.
Yeah. I mean, he's got nothing else. He's got nobody else in his life.
Plus, he's Batman. Okay. So, anything else before I give you our connection?
Nope. We're good.
Okay. The bartender, where Laura was eventually lured away to be kidnapped. The bartender is played by Alexandra Carey. Daughter of future Secretary of State John Carey. In fact, Alexandra Carey joined him on his trail for the bid for the presidency in 2004, which is 3 years after 2001. A Space Odyssey.
Really? That was your match?
That's all. I could have done further, but I think I'm kind of bored with this particular shtick.
All right. Well, just retire it then.
Yeah, I think. Well, we'll bring
you
it
back for special
occasions.
You shouldn't disrespect it. You shouldn't disrespect it. Just don't do it.
Okay. All right.
We should put another Kubrick movie on the calendar, and then you can retire it for good after that one.
Yeah. Well, no, we can always bring it back. You know, if things are going poorly, I don't have any problem bringing back old favorites. Perhaps favorite is the wrong term.
it's a charitable description.
Sounds like you're revising 2001.
Yeah. Well, we should actually watch 2001 again. I'm curious now.
Hey, I'll watch it all the time.
I'm curious what Drew thinks about it.
2010 is also, I think, did I send you the list of overlooked science fiction ones?
Yeah.
I did, right? Yeah.
I've never seen AI.
So AI is a great movie, but it's got issues and it's a big downer of a movie. It's not a happy movie.
I saw that one in the theater.
Oh, man.
That was rough.
I always get it confused with K-Pax.
Oh, with Kevin Spacey and Jeff Bridges?
Banana.
I think we saw that in the theater together.
I have never seen that movie.
K-Pax?
Yes.
Who'd I see it with?
So. Any. Do we have housekeeping?
Listen to The Godfather Part 3.
And?
That was a better movie than this.
Really? Wow.
I like The Godfather Part 3, but I think Spartan is a much better movie.
I still contend that Godfather 3 should have ended about 5 minutes before it really did.
I agree with you, but when I was re-listening today to the podcast, I really want Godfather 4 on Mars, so.
Oh, yeah, I think that'll be fun. We'll get the treatment, remember, by December, by Christmas.
I don't think we mentioned this in the podcast, but Mario Puzo and Francis Ford Coppola were working on Godfather 4 when Puzo died.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that would have been interesting. Although I don't know if Coppola, what has he done lately? I think maybe he doesn't have the clout that he used to. Of course, who knows these days where the money is coming from, too.
China.
Yeah, maybe. But there are certain movies that do well in China. Others do not. What was the one that... Suicide Squad that was even going to bomb in China?
It was a hit here.
Was it?
Yeah. Critics savaged it, but it made a lot of money.
Huh.
Well,
good for them. Yeah, and I haven't seen it, so I don't know.
It sounds terrible.
It does sound terrible. The whole saga of it sounds terrible. What with being rewritten by the trailer writers? Re-edited by the trailer writers?
Mm-hmm.
So I will take this opportunity to insert the housekeeping I cut out of the U2 episode, maybe, where I talk about the solution to my car problem, just so there's closure there. The car runs wonderfully now, so knock on wood. And our mother's eye seems to be healing just nicely. She's not super happy that the slow progress of it, but it still is progress.
Spent part of the weekend with mom and dad. We went up to Denali and drove into the national park on the Denali Park Highway.
Yep, which you can only do once a year.
Yep, and you have to win a lottery to do it. So thank you, Brother Eric and Brother Jason, because you guys both won the lottery this year on our behalf. But yeah, it was beautiful weather. We saw some animals. The girls actually survived being in the car that long over the weekend without...
One of your daughters almost took an animal home, it looked like.
Yeah, she did. Yeah, she got really close to a little ground squirrel. If she had faster reflexes, we would have a new pet.
Just don't feed them carrots. Carrots are tough on little animals.
They're tough on big animals, too. Like our dog.
The shocker reference.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we were feeding our guinea pigs too many carrots because they love carrots. Yeah. That's anytime you have to clean up blood from your pet's cage, that's a bad thing. So no carrots, no blood. It's fine.
Excellent. So, but yeah, speaking of blood, yeah, mom's eyes looking a lot better.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's driving again, I hear.
Yeah, yeah. Freaky. I had to cancel on her on Monday for the first part of the day. She took herself out. I mean, she drove herself is what I mean.
Phrasing.
Yeah. So, yeah, the periphery is coming back. The horizon is lowering. It's all sounds good. So, everybody, go get your yearly eye exams. Or don't. One of the two. Either do it all the time or ignore it until you go blind. So, what ended up happening with the expedition, less than a month old in my possession, the check engine light goes on and the thing runs like crap, is I took it to the, a little further along. So, longtime listener, no-time caller Connie, her husband, who is a sweetheart, they're both sweethearts, happy to help. And he is like an airline pilot, but also really good with mechanical stuff, likes to solve mechanical problems. Happy to help out, had extra time, made a point of saying, hey, you know, what are the engine codes are coming off of this thing? You know, maybe we can just puzzle this out over the weekend. You don't have to spend a bunch of money to fix it if it's easy. And I was like, I've got an appointment already at this particular shop that my dad has taken this car to forever. I think I'm good. He's like, well, no, really, maybe I'll save you a couple bucks. We can go down to AutoZone if you don't have a reader. I'm like, oh, no, I've got a reader. It just, I don't even, you know, there's a certain amount of, no, I'm fine. And then I think the last message, the last text was like, you know, okay, you know, I like helping people and, you know, whatever. And I'm like, okay, here's the deal. If I try to fix it on my own and it doesn't work and I didn't do what my daddy told me to do to fix it, it's going to be unpleasant. So, yeah, I'm 47 years old, but there's still a little bit of family drama in this whole thing, even though it's not all that dramatic. So I'm just going to take this one and I appreciate your help and whatever. Turns out he sure probably could have found it fairly easy. Now that I know what happened, it's easy enough to figure out. So the best I can figure, there is a piece of weather stripping, actually two pieces of weather stripping, which is the problem, between the hood and the windshield, that little cowling runoff area. Mm-hmm. And there's a seam right in the middle. And after a while, the seam tends to separate, which lets water like flow in a nice little channel right down onto your engine. And the engine has these, you know, spark plug like wells kind of deep down. So those can get full up with fluid. Well, in the case, the earlier case where Dad's intake manifold gasket failed, it was like spraying antifreeze in those wells and then caused a problem. In my case, it was just probably rainwater that got in those wells. And there's this doesn't have a distributor with a conventional coil distributor. Instead, it's got the coil on plug. So each plug has its own ignition coil. And there's a boot between the two, between the plug and the coil. And the little boot kind of had like a failure or whatever. Was all worn, so it was just shorting. So it was causing one cylinder not to fire, which was the missing, which was the check engine light, which also kind of ended up polluting the oil with fuel. So they didn't have to replace the coil or the plug, but they had to blow it all out, and they did a fuel injector cleaning and an oil change, basically, for $500.
That's better than the $1,300.
Yeah. And, you know, you look online, and this is a known kind of issue with this particular engine. And the year after, this is a 2003, between 2004 and 2007, there was another added bonus that occasionally the spark plugs would just fly right out of the engine.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like there'd be a catastrophic plug failure, and you would find like the engine would be running like crap, or the car would stall, and you would see the plug lying outside of the engine compartment.
That sounds cheap to fix.
Well, this particular engine and then spark plugs that are recommended for it are basically pretty much designed for the engine. They also had a tendency to break off when you tried to remove them. So the last thing I would have wanted to do... Oh, can I imagine deciding to do it on the cheap with Connie's husband in the garage, and then we break off the plug in the engine and then have to go take it to have the plug retrieved with the special tool?
That would be amazing.
It would be amazing. So,
and they're all thinking, poor guy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it worked out. And, you know, it's all going to... luckily, we had the $500. Although now every time it rains, I worry that it's going to happen again. It shouldn't, but it could. Yeah. And the other thing is, this happened off air, but just to message anybody who's listening past this point. Oh, by the way, thank you to Connie and Chris both for your generous offer. Someday I will need the help and I will appreciate it. Please don't stop offering. That's all I'm asking. Also, by the way, special shout out to Susan, who listens sometimes on Sunday when she works out. And she laughed out loud at the gym the other day when I described going to see The Sixth Sense with Sandy, because she worked with Sandy and she could envision the whole thing where Sandy's talking at the movie theater about, oh my God, is this one of the movies that, so the ending is the beginning? Anyway, so she thought that was pretty funny in a happy way. Sandy, you'll never be listening, but if you are, this is not mean-spirited. So, so we have listeners. It's always surprising that, to hear people quote us, but gratifying. So.